Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'adhotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and we thank all of you for tuning in another segment of New Day. We have a lot of information for you tonight, as usual, but of course, before we begin, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator. And we always remind you, as we make certain that we are very cognizant and appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Well, let's see now. Tonight, we're going to continue our segment. You know, last Sunday, we kind of brought in a new segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation, something we're going to feature now probably at least once a month. And that is the discussion around the development of what we now call our African warriors for the 21st century and beyond. Now, of course, last Sunday, we started our dialogue with Brother Alton Maddox, and it was truly wonderful. As a matter of fact, for those of you who did not tune in on Sunday, you know you can always hear our shows at any time by just going to the website, our New Day Resurrection Liberation website, and all you have to do is go to the on-demand segment, and you will, or section rather, and you will see all the listings of the shows. So again, at your convenience, you are able to hear any of our shows at any given time. At any rate, we are going to have Brother Alton Maddox joining us here in Philadelphia, October the 14th and 15th. And he will be along with Nwalimu Baruti and Brother Kamau Kabong. They will all be here for the For Brothers Only conference, a two-day conference that is specifically designed for black men, serious African men, to focus on the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. Now, you know, you oftentimes hear in conversation or in you know, different other kinds of venues, you'll hear something about the greatness and the beauty of the black woman and the mother of civilization and this and that. Well, it's time to see that manifest in some more realistic kinds of ways. And we feel that we have to do this because over the course of the past 5 years in particular, what we've noticed is not just an increase in the day-to-day types of violence and violations of our women and girls, but we're talking about a certain type now that we're seeing much, much more than at least in my lifetime. And we cannot allow that to happen. We certainly cannot allow that next generation coming in, our daughters, our nieces, our sisters, future mothers. We must make certain that we make it better for them as well as making certain that we make it better today for ourselves. So with that said, you know, we're holding this conference, and it's going to be very, very important. Not only important, it's going to be groundbreaking, to say the least, because I do not know when black men have come together from different locations in the world to specifically focus on not just the conversation of violence and abuse, but to literally sit down and begin to map out some possible solutions to understand first, perhaps, where this behavior came from, to really now have some comprehension of that, to know how the connection of post-traumatic slave syndrome now plays into some of what we're seeing, to now also know about how previous abuses has played into this whole scenario and then some. So we're going to have all of those types of discussions, in addition to how can our men be helped for those who can be helped. How can they be helped? What brothers will stand up to formulate a support system for men who want to break that cycle? These are some of the things that will be discussed at that conference. And so we're very much looking forward to having many of the brothers coming in. We have a strong group of brothers coming in from New York. We have brothers coming in from Atlanta, also from New Jersey. So, you know,
it's going to be a first step to do something that really needed to be done some time ago, but nevertheless is getting done now. And so, of course, you know, as they say, sometimes better than never, but certainly we are very, very blessed to make certain that it happens now. Now, at that conference, one of the things that's going to also be talked about is, what is it to be a black man? We hear a lot of talk about, you know, black men, black women, black family, African family, et cetera, but for real, what in fact does it really mean to be a black man in America today? What are some of the, and I mean, not just the what we know in terms of how the oppressor deals with us or what the oppressor attempts to do to us. No, no. What does it mean to be a black man in America? What does it mean to be a black man, period? What are some of the characteristics? What are some of the criteria? These are some of the things that we really want to begin to focus on. So some of the young men, some of the young males who still yet have to grow can get a better idea, because many of them may not have someone in their lives to help them with that. Well, to have brothers who will step up and take on that responsibility, well, of course, that's what we're talking about. So we're going to talk about that a little tonight. We're going to go into some of the African warrior development aspects of being a black man, because that too is something that will be discussed at this conference. Because to defend and protect the black woman, that requires a certain type of ability. And if not a certain type of ability, certainly it is something that has to be looked at and nurtured. So tonight we're going to talk about, again, that. Now, we're going to go very shortly to our live line, and we're going to talk with one of the brothers who just so happened to be one of the presenters at the For Brothers Only conference. Now, this brother, of course, has been on the show, not recently, but has been on at least one time, I think maybe a couple of times in the past couple of years. But as it just happens, this brother has just written a new book. And it's so on point, it's so timely, because as we now talk about the roles and responsibilities of the black man, well, certainly having access to information, having access to the ability to discuss those things that we talk about is all critical. So we're going to talk very shortly with Chief Bilal Jafari Ill, who is the author of a new book, and you're going to hear more about this book as we proceed. It was just released a week or so ago, called The Black Man's Consciousness of Philosophy. We're going to talk about this book and other things. But just to give you a little preview, and you can now purchase this book. We're going to give you the information on how you can purchase this book. For example, this book talks about who is God. Also, self-being of the spirit versus spiritual reality of religion. Now, you know, that's really important, because too many of our people are getting too caught up in this thing called religion. Not spirituality, but religion. One of the other topics in this book is something called husbandry. And I think this is a very important kind of topic, because we talk about being husband and wife. We talk about, you know, having relationships, but oftentimes we're not clear on what these words really mean. And it's important in this day and age that you at least have some inkling. And it's not to say that we're going to use all of the European's words the way that he got it designed. Oh, no, let's not even try to drop into that one. We will choose to define ourselves and define other things the way we wish to, of course. But again, it's just good to know some of these things. So one of the other things about this book that you're going to find interesting is the health aspect, because we know that in order for us to behave better or to be better, health is critical. So this is some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight, but also at the conference For Brothers Only. Because if our brothers are stressed out, if our brothers are feeling oppressed, suppressed, that's going to create rage, and somebody's going to get that taken out on them. And unfortunately, sometimes it is our sisters. So let's just give you a little bit of insight into some of what this book is about. And we're just going to kind of give you a little overview of it tonight. And we're going to talk more about it at another time. But we want to at least begin the dialogue so that in the next week or so as we lead up to the conference, we can really begin to break some of it down a bit more. But certainly, when you come to the conference, brothers, you'll be able to hear Bilal Jafari Ill. You'll be able to ask him questions. You'll be able to critique the book if you haven't up to that point. And certainly, you'll be able to share your views. So what we're going to do now is we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And before we do that, we want to also let you know that a little later on, we're going to be talking more about the development of the African warrior. And with that, we're going to be talking with Grandmaster Rogers. Now, I tell you, it is always for me such a wonderful experience to run across new information and to obtain greater insight, especially when it comes to disciplines. And very recently, I learned about a brother in the California area who has a school, and at his school, he has a variety of martial arts philosophies and trainings and so forth, but one in particular caught my eye, and I think it's going to catch yours too, and that is something known as the African-American kickboxing. We're going to talk more about that when we talk with Grandmaster Rogers, who also has some understanding and insight into what is known as Vietasana. And Vietasana is right here, its founder and school is right here in Philadelphia, and also during the upcoming Brothers Only Conference, you're going to be hearing from, that's another brother, Brother Umeme, will be one of the brothers who will be participating in the conference, as well as one of our brothers who we will be honoring during that time. So let's do this. We're going to get ready to go to our live line. And again, we are going to bring in now the author of the book that I just mentioned, and again, we're going to talk about this book a little more in the future as well, but the book is called Black Man's Consciousness of Philosophy, and certainly, brothers and sisters, we need as much information as we can possibly get so that we can not only become more enlightened and raise the frequency and the energy of our beings, but also that so that we can really obtain more of that 360 degrees that we know we're really supposed to be. So without further ado, we're going to go to our live line, and joining us now is going to be Chief Bilal Jafari Ill, and I'm going to open up the chat room for you all in about 5 minutes as well, so if you have some comments and questions, you can feel free to post that in as well. Okay, so we're going to our live line, and joining us is Chief Bilal Jafari Ill. Hey, Black man, are you there?
Maya, peace.
My brother.
Yes, yes, my beautiful sister. Everything is great.
Good, good. Well, I'm sitting here looking at this book. I'm like, my goodness, look at this. Who would have thought?
Well, you didn't miss it. You didn't miss the last chapter. You gotta miss the last chapter.
That's right, no doubt.
You didn't miss it. You gotta miss that last chapter.
All right. Well, before we go to the last chapter, let's start with the beginning here. What first of all?
Right.
What inspired you to write this book?
Well, how can I say this? Is, as you know, that I was in a situation where I got hit on my motorcycle, and I was just laying around trying to recuperate and to regenerate my body through this incident that I had. And I'm laying there, and I said, you know, to the ancestors, what is it that I can do while I'm in this position that I'm in? And then it hit me, write a book. So I was waking up at 4 a.m. every day, and I began to jot these thoughts down. Mm-hmm. So it was based on what's already embedded in me, and who we are as a people, and this ancestry, just my ancestors, just was like, boom. So it's an ancestry-based book. That's all I can say. It's my ancestors.
Okay. So, I mean, so how did you begin to formulate the ideas, the concept? Because, you know, I read off a little bit of what some of the chapters were. I mean, you know, why these particular chapters, or why these particular topics?
Well, again, as I stated earlier, it was something that was based on our ancestor, and I know that in our ancestry, we are warrior-based people. So it was like five concepts that came together that I feel as though that is needed for our people, that we can make an impact to come back to who we are. And I put in the book five members. So these five topics is the five topics that we're basically struggling with. Like the first chapter, who is God, we are struggling with that because we've been taught who God is, not from our ancestors, but from those who oppressed us all our lives, and through religion, or some form of religion,
mm-hmm.
who's given us our concept of God, and not what's been handed down to us from our ancestors, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second chapter is basically, you know, our struggles that we have for ourselves, because we don't look at ourselves as who we are as a self-being versus, you know, the reality or the concept that was given to us by other folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third chapter, you know, I was like, why are we struggling so much? We're struggling so much because we do not know that a husbandry deals with the cultivation and the science to be able to produce, economical base that's a family structure. That's something that we should have, because to have a family, every family should have a business. And if each family has a business, we can all have commerce with each other and build our own economics and stop depending on outside people. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next chapter, the health chapter, oh, you know we need that, sister, because we don't got all messed up. Anytime our children nowadays is 9 and 10 years old, coming out to be diabetics and everything else, and obesity is just going crazy. And our children know more about McDonald's and Burger King and all that old nonsense, and the more so than the proper foods to eat. You know, we're giving our children cow milk and milk from animals instead of breastfeeding our children. So the health food for thought is a chapter that's just that. It's a health chapter that's going to make you think, like, look, people, wake up, you see? Because we are dying, and we're doing it to our own selves. We can't blame the other people. We're always going to blame somebody else. No, we got to blame ourselves, because we're taking our own hands and feeding our own children and feeding our own selves food that don't belong to us.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So now I would be remiss if I didn't mention a couple of things before we go on to some of the other chapters. And I'm going to get to the last chapter, too. But before we do that,
I got to get to my favorite chapter.
I know it
yes,
is.
Yes, yes.
But before we do that, I think that people need to know that Chief Durrell is, in fact, one who not only talks about these things, but literally practices them. And as you see, he was in a very, very serious motorcycle accident, one that you know, was almost fatal, actually. So to recuperate, to regenerate, was really almost miraculous. But because he does, in fact, follow or apply, shall I say, a very in-depth and very unrelenting kind of focus on health and nutrition, he was able to make headway in such a way in his recovery that even, you know, the white medical people didn't believe it. So I'm saying that to say that, you know, this information in this book is not just one that is to be just thrown together or put together lightly. It has taken years of practice, years of research. Now, going back to the book, for those of you who will get the opportunity to go online and purchase it, and or to, we're going to have a book signing October the 15th, I believe, we'll have a book signing. And again, you will hear Keith Burrell as well talk about the book as well as other things. But what you will find is references to the so-called Bible or from the so-called Bible, because many people do, in fact, recognize or have some appreciation or know something about the so-called Bible. And I'm saying that to say that Chiplel is also very well learned in the area of what one may call Bible studies or things of that nature. So you'll see the dots connected quite well, quite clearly, in both chapter 1 and 2 in particular. And as we, you know, begin to talk more about husbandry, which of course is something that you do see in the so-called Bible, but what does that really mean? So let's go back to that for a moment, Chief Lau, in that we often think about husbandry as just meaning or being, you know, a man and a woman being married. Now, you, of course, just mentioned something very important, which tends to kind of help break families and marriages up, and that is the lack of economics. So now, elaborate a little more on how this husbandry is more applied in reality, or needs to be more applied reality in a reality, and certainly not in the context or in the concept that the white man tends to give us.
Well, the main thing I can say is this. Our ancestors already dealt with a mathematical scientific principles, and that's what basically is what a husbandry is about. How can I say this? If you look at our society today, a lot of our young men who are dating our sisters do know how to cultivate. And notice the word I'm using, cultivate. And cultivating is something that is very, very, very important, because it's not about, how can I say this, controlling our sisters. And as you see, it's another big problem that we have in our society today. I'm asking you this. Do you agree with that, sister?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And do you agree with that? Do you see that that's an issue in our black family? Because you see a lot of black men have been programmed so long to think that the sister, how can I say this? Since society has labeled our black women as the booty,
mm-hmm.
you see, which is the schools of war, they have an issue, because what happens is once they get a good sister, they trying to just grab their sister and hold on that sister, but they start grabbing that sister and cultivating and loving that sister as the Maya, as the goddess, as the you know, someone that's, how can I say, that should be lifted into a highest degree of who she is. They grab her and they hold on to her like they got the booty, if I can use that term.
Mm-hmm.
So when we understand husbandry, we understand and we comprehend, in other words, better is a better word, that to have a husbandry, the man more so holds a position of a prudent or a wise manager to help the family to produce economics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that's an economical structure that we can have energy for the family, that we can leave for our friends, that we can have an inheritance of something that we can leave for our children. So that's what it's basically about. It's about a household of management that based on an economical base. So it's not about you just going to say, I do. It's not about you going to get a ring. It's not just about you saying, well, I'm married and I got papers on you, because all these concepts are not our concept. Just like this, when you understand husbandry, you will learn the science. The science is this. The science is that you espouse yourself to a woman, and the word espouse is that it's something that's very important, because it allows you to cultivate or what we call that wooing process of courtship. And courtship is a very important thing. We've been caught up in the wrong courts, and the courts riding the wrong ships. You see? And through many concepts that we had lost, I hear people all the time holler about, well, you know, we were kings and queens. And I always say to them, well, look, let me tell you something. Our sisters are better than queens, and we are better than kings. Because kings lose crowns, and the queens become the booty. And that's not what it's about. That's not what our ancestors taught. You see, we all know, for those of us that have studied and study it to reproduce, and when you reproduce yourself, you'll know that as gods and goddesses, we still control of our own destiny no matter what we choose to do. So when you look at that sister and you say she's a god and you know that you're a god, then it's about mastery. So both of you have to have mastery. And that's what a husbandry is about, is that everyone has to have mastery. So no one is over nobody to say, well, I got mastery and you don't have mastery, so you're the booty. You see what I'm saying? Oh, I'm the man and you're just a woman and all you're going to do is just bear me this children. No, because gods and goddesses create. And that's what the other tree is about. You see what I'm saying, sis?
Absolutely.
Like really, and talking to a Maya woman, that's why I keep asking you and saying, do you see what I'm saying? Because I know you're a true Maya. And that's what the husband tree is about. It's basically that the woman being the Maya that she is and the man being the responsible man that he is by being able to manage the whole situation. Because the word, when you study these words and we understand or comprehend these words, manager, to be a manager, the word manager actually means husband. And again, that all comes with a science of a principle to cultivate or bring what you call a growth domestic product for our family. And that's what we lack, and that's why we don't have no wealth.
Wow.
And they use the same, now check this out, because they use that same concept. Look at these corporations. If you look at a corporation like McDonald's, whoever owned McDonald's, they set a manager in McDonald's. And because they're homosexual, they don't care if the manager is male or female. Okay? They set a manager in McDonald's, but every sister in McDonald's is wearing the same name tag, the same clothes. Even the men, they're wearing the same name tag and the same clothes, and they're all there to build an economical-based structure, but the economics and the wealth is going to whoever owns McDonald's and to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, check this out. Even if you look in the so-called history of so-called slavery, you see that the slave master had his wife, and he had a mistress, and then he had his manservants. But everybody was for his economical base because he had his so-called slaves that he was breeding. He had breeding farms. He had the so-called slaves in the field. And when you look up words like employee and employer, you'll find the word employee actually means slave, and employer actually means master. So the same concept is being produced, and our sisters are working collectively, and the brothers are working collectively together to build economical basis for these corporations, but can't seem to come together for us as a people, you see. And women become very, very, very powerful when they come together collectively. Because y'all like water. And water, if I put a little dot of water on the ground and another dot of water on the ground, and I rub the two dots together, y'all begin to become a puddle. If I take that puddle and add more water, you begin to start a stream. If I take that creek turns to a stream turns to a river's turn to an ocean, and so on. And it's become powerful. You see, men, we like rocks. You put a bunch of rocks together, all you need to make noise. Am I right, sister? Am I right?
No doubt.
But you put
no
a bunch, you see, and men, and this is why men have to learn to develop their mastery and be like the mountains. You see, because we became little rocks and pebbles, and all we're doing is making noise, and even, women, when they come together, because like I said, when you take two rocks and put them together, they're going to be a bit of a click, 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 but you take them two pebbles, and push it together, what do you do? It forms a bit of pebble. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's what the husband tree is about. So that's basically, as a sum up, it's what the husband tree is basically is about, and that's because we need to have a heritage so we can leave a legacy, so we can have a legacy of wealth to leave for our children. And with that, and with a husband tree, for example, if I have five children, and if I had another five children, let's say 10 children, I can teach them skills. I ran a martial arts school for many years, am I correct? I can have other martial arts schools. I have welding by trade. I'm an iron worker. I can build buildings. I can teach some of my children that. We have business. We have businesses that's established out there, you see. And if you have a husband tree, all of it goes to an economical base. And if someone else has a husband tree, it goes to economical base, and we can all have commerce together. Your family can produce clothes. My family can produce something that needs the clothes, and then we can have commerce, you see. And now we can have economics as a base for a structure for our family, and we're all going to be able to eat, you see. And that's important. And that's how you build a nation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Okay. Well, now just for one point of clarity, because as we begin to connect the dots, as we just said. Now, of course, some of you may have seen or heard or read something about husbandry at some point in time. And usually in a biblical context or in a context of older history, what you oftentimes will see is a connection to the land, a connection into managing the farm animals or the production of the farming. And so I think what we're seeing or what we're hearing is to bring it into a more modern day reality, we're looking at how do you transform these concepts? Because, of course, that was about maintaining the family and providing for the family. So now what we're hearing in this analysis is the ability to transform those ancient concepts into more of the modern-day necessities in the application today. So would that be a good kind of way to formulate that, Chief Bilal?
Well, let me say this, sister. See, a lot of times, like even when you say the scriptures, for example, like you said the Bible, well, our concepts, a lot of the concepts, see, there's no new thing in the sun. White folks ain't creating nothing, and they just, everything they do was took from our concepts. And there's an old comedic proverb that says that the woman is the fertile field, you see. And this is why I use the word cultivate, because the woman, the black woman, that able to have that beautiful black womb, you know, that is that fertile field. This is where the gods and goddess, where we're able to come and marinate to create, you see. So the whole science of, when you look at the words, like if you look at the dictionary, and one of the first things they said is they're dealing with the agriculture and the science principles of breeding. Well, that concept, they switched around and used that. Again, like I've used the time when they had us in their slave farms. Because on their slave farms, they had breeding farms where they took the most beautiful, fertile field, which was the black woman, and produced our children, who they call pups. You see? They call our children pups. And today, we've been programmed so much that we grew up calling ourselves dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Mm-hmm. So they took our concept, flipped it around, took the beautiful black woman, used her for that same concept of the husbandry, except for you have the white male, he was the husband, you see, and he used the women for breeding farms, whether he slept with them or whether he used the other male that he controlled. And still today, still going on today, Because you look at the last chapter, we're going to talk about the last chapter, and select the last chapter, because we need to own our own children to this day. We still got to go to their courts and sign for custody. And custody means, do not mean ownership, it's custodianship, you're the caretaker. But then who owns our own children? So that same process is being used on us today. Because all we're doing is breeding children for the so-called slave masters, who is cultivating our children for economical resource. This is why when our children grow up, we send them to their schools and we program them to go to human resource departments. You see? So there's no difference.
Wow. So, again, it seems that we are, or so I won't say we, I'll say too many of our people are literally participating in modern-day slavery.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that needs to be noted is in utilizing the word cultivate. You know, this is why, again, without culture, without us having our own culture and understanding of our cultures, then obviously that's going to affect our cultivation.
Yes. You know what's so powerful, sis? If you get the book, and by the way, people, you can either email me at massunit, and that's M-A-S-S-H, that's two S's, unit, at gmail.com, and you can mention this radio show, and I'll personally send you a book. The book is going for $20, and I will personally send you a bookmarker that was created by myself with a food chart on there, and I will personally sign it. If you mention this radio show, I will sign that book for you and make sure you get the book. Or you can go on a website that we have, which is www.aboriginalglobalmedia.com, and order the book. But like I say, if you're on this radio show, the best thing to do is contact me personally at madshooner@gmail.com. Mention my beautiful Maya, Sister Soleil, and I will personally sign that book for you. Personally.
All right. Now, let's
have to say
go
this. When you go to the dictionary and get a good college dictionary, and it's something amazing that they have in there. And you look up the word woman, they have something that was really amazing to me. And one particular dictionary I have, it says women collectively, womankind. Then it has women as wives right next to it. But when I looked at that, I said, wow. Let me tell you why I looked at that and said, wow. Because it let me know that collectively, women is powerful. But it said womankind, meaning kind, meaning life. So women life, and then again, I don't know if women is wise. So I'm like, my question is, if that reference to the black woman or the reference to the other woman who is mankind, the man-like? Because the black woman is truly the goddess of Maya. Mm-hmm. And they ain't going to give that power to them. They ain't going to give that power to us. So they said women collectively, but it said womankind right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means women like.
And you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I always tell people to be very careful when they see the Million Woman March. And a lot of times people want to say the Million Women March. And they don't realize that that was a programming that was specifically put out there by the white media. Why? Because note the difference. When the Million Man March happened, you did not hear, at least I didn't, and I'm sure most people didn't, hear anyone slip up or try to make the mistake of saying the Million Men March. That just wasn't said. But when it came to the sisters, not only did the general media attempt to push it, but our own people were trying to say Million Women. And the justification that they tried to use was because the first word, million, is plural, then you're supposed to use for the next word, the connecting one. And I said, now, isn't it ironic that that argument was never raised when you had the Million Man March?
But when it came to the sisters, it got so twisted around, they even changed it up to the degree of trying to make it women's, like W-O-M-E-N-apostrophe-S, W-O-M-E-N, W-O-M-E-N-S, W-O-M-A-N-apostrophe-S. They did not want to leave it just as it was originated in woman. And why do we take the position of that? Because we are the original woman. See, they knew that. They knew that that was the premise and the approach. So they had to try to dilute it in order to try to make it inclusive later on down the line. So if their plan would work of them trying to create an illusion of there being some other people that started it, then they could successfully put in there this women thing that never existed in the first place. So you see,
wow,
what you're saying is so on point. And we have to be very clear on how the enemy functions in trying to separate us. Because like I said, for the most part, they kept it at Million Man March. But when it came to the sisters, they tried to switch it all up and disconnect us, even in trying to phrase it in a way that wouldn't allow us to really bond in the way that we were projecting it and actually doing. So we talk about war. We talk about being warriors. Well, a part of that, of course, is learning how to be strategic and how to be a tactician. So these are some of the things that we talked about tonight. So now let's go on to this. Now, here we go back to another important area. We want to go kind of recap a little bit in that area about food for thought, healthier, food that really feeds the body, not feeds off of the body. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm glad you said that not feeds off the body, because if you're eating flesh and blood, now I know this may sound blunt, but it's an actual fact. If you're eating flesh and blood, you have parasites.
Mm.
And what do a parasite do? A parasite eats you. A parasite makes its home inside of you. A parasite will take anything from you and contribute nothing back to you. You see, but we got two types of parasites. We got the parasites that we're eating, and we got the parasites that really are parasitic people that have been draining us for so long, who are the ones that have written a pyramid. Check this out. On the food pyramid that was given to our children in schools, on that food pyramid, there is no water on there nowhere. Now, health food for thought. And let's think about this. If our bodies are 70% water, where is the damn water at? If we, the black man and woman, are beings of the sun and can be in the sun, and the sun, of course, loves us, because we can lay in that sun all day and it never cause us to have nothing. In fact, we are dying because we are lacking sun. We're dying and getting sick and getting so-called disease of the body because we're not having no sun. We're lacking vitamin D. Now, because they can't be in the sun, I'm going to say it again, because, and this ain't no prejudice or no racist teaching, it's just speaking the facts. Because they cannot be in the sun, it's a known fact that the sun will kill them. So when they develop a pyramid, their pyramid don't have no sun on it. Well, we need sun. That's a health food for thought. We need water. That's a health food for thought. Now, on their pyramid, you can Google any pyramid that they have, and on their pyramid, they got milk and cheese. Milk from a cow. What are we doing drinking milk from a cow? On their pyramid, they got baby chickens, which is a baby fetus. You see? They got cow flesh, which is blood. Because no matter what you do on a scientific, I don't care how much You drain that blood and hot blood, you cook it till it's boiled down to the food, it's blue black, it still got blood in it.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
That's a health food for thought. Another health food for thought is this. We speaking of the milk, our ancestors left on record that the breast milk is the best milk, that with that breast milk, we don't even need to have vaccine shots. Why are we so programmed? Look at the word vaccine itself. It comes from a Latin word that means cow.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So these vaccines are viruses. Now, what kind of science is that? That you're going to put a virus in your body, and that virus attacks your mitochondrial cells, and then it begins to produce or allow you to accept things that you normally won't accept. Because a natural child won't accept cow milk. We'll reject it. But when we see a child that's lactose intolerant, we think the baby's sick. No, something that baby healthy. You sick because you want cow milk. See, that's a health food for thought. You see? And then now watch this. We laughing, but these are health food for thought. We're laughing. We so programmed that we want to run around here and call ourselves children of God, child of God, but yet we turn around and when our children come out, we start calling them kids. And a kid is a bully goat. And then we start feeding that child anything that a bully goat would eat, because a bully goat is a goat eat any damn thing. You see?
You know,
and then,
I'm
good.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm just going to take that to just another level for you. You know, of course, here on our program, we oftentimes have to go into a bit of a more accelerated mindset because we know that our people really need that and want it. And so we, when we can, we try to provide that. And it's this, you know, the other thing, the trickery of being called kid is not just, I mean, it's what you just said, yes, and that's the surface thing. But we know that the system functions in a very subliminal way. And so kid also in almost any culture that deals with understanding spirit or understanding other kinds of dimensions and interaction, the kid is also representative of the goat. And the goat in most cultures, when you start dealing on a spiritual level, represents the devil. So here we are running around calling our children kids, which means we're calling them little demons.
That's right.
So we're instilling in them subconsciously the behavior and the element of a little demon because we're saying kid and not realizing the aura or the energy that's being transmitted in doing that because we don't think about what we're doing and we think that because we don't know that the application is still not in effect. And unfortunately, that's not the way that's going.
And you know what? And then when a lot of children, why are children so bad as hell? What you call me?
Right.
Why he just eat anything. What are you calling him a kid? Clearly, it's asking what the goddess of the God who curated this is the frequency that you put out because our thoughts are powerful. Clearly, it's asking what you put out. You see?
Wow.
So we have to learn to stop that. And I always tell people all the time, I say, you how about you a child of God? Well, when are you going to grow up?
Now, with that said, give us a couple of suggestions because we have a lot of brothers and sisters that listen to our show now, brother. I'm telling you, the numbers are shooting up to the sky, it seems. And so with that said, I know that there's always folk who appreciate the information that we provide for them. So share with us some of what you know to have been helpful in your recovery and things that you've shared with other people and seen how it has helped to bring them forward in terms of food suggestions. And I use the word food only as a form of communications, but we're really talking about nourishing or the nourishment for your body. So what are some of the things,
well,
be it grains or other kinds of things that you would suggest?
Okay, well, how about this? How about I begin by breaking down the food pyramid that I created?
Okay.
Is that okay? Do I have you? Do I have you agreement with that? Okay.
Absolutely.
Now let's check this out. Now this is a real food pyramid that's created by myself, who knows what our ancestors have taught us. And because if you look at the pyramid, a pyramid has two sides, top and the bottom. And on the bottom of the pyramid, we have water. And when we wake up, because we sleeping 8, 9, some of us sleeping 12 hours a night where we shouldn't be. But the point is, when we wake up, the body has already been going through a dehydration process. So we need to hydrate the cells. So we need to wake up, and when you wake up, the first thing you want is water. Not no coffee, because when you're drinking coffee, what you are doing is dehydrating the body even more, because the coffee is a dehydrator. So the first thing is water. The second thing on the chart is sea vegetables. Now, why sea vegetables? Sea vegetables, if anybody who knew Dr. Sabi, Dr. Sabi used to always talk about sea moss. Well, why sea moss? Sea moss is a sea vegetable that has 90-something different minerals. Now, the body, of course, has 102 minerals. Meaning this, your body is made up of 102 minerals. People always say vitamin. Well, vitamin means a vital mineral. So we're talking 90 different, 90, like 92, 93, 94 different vital minerals that your body needs. So very, something that's very good and that's needed is to add that sea moss. And then once you understand different time, like, we shouldn't be eating, getting up, the body goes into what we call different cycles. And from 4 a.m. roughly to 12 p.m., your body is going through an elimination process. This is why we begin when we wake up, we're going to the bathroom, and we're doing different things. So we shouldn't go by what they tell you, because breaking fast is just that. Breakfast is B-R-E-A-K, and then fast, F-A-S-T. So your breakfast, and then it's do with you drinking or eating breakfast 5 o'clock in the a.m. and 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, because your body's going through a cycle. We got to listen to our bodies. So when you break your fast, primarily since you asked me to talk about myself too, I don't break my fast till noontime. I'm a sun up to sundown child. I don't break a fast. But if I have to eat prior to that, I would do stuff, again, like the sea vegetables, or the, which is like the sea moss, and make sure I had their water. Okay? The next thing on my chart is sea mineral salts. Now, sea mineral salts, potassium, iron, all these different things, your body needs, which you'll find, again, in the sea vegetables. And also, I'll give you an example of sea mineral salt. Why is it that we have the processed white salt that is worse than cancer instead of sea salt? We need sea salt because sea salt has 84 different, again, vital minerals that our body needs, you see? And I always find that it's always great to season our foods, our vegetables, whatever we're eating. And, like, if you ever go in my cabinet, I have dorse, which is another sea vegetable. I season my food with kelp, which is another sea vegetable. And, for example, people with thyroid problems, they'll never have a thyroid problem because all these sea vegetables are high in iodine and different things, and they are good for you, excellent for you, and never cause no injury to you. That white salt will cause injury to you. That white sugar will cause injury to you. That white flour will cause injury to you. Matter of fact, all white concepts will cause injury to you. Okay? So get rid of it. The next thing on my chart is earth minerals. And then earth plants. What I mean by that is this. We have to eat plants that are produced by the earth, that are wildcrafted. See, when you have to plant something, that's not from the earth, because you really have to plant. Like, for example, when you take somebody who engineered some carrots, and carrots is not real because carrots is something that they have to plant. It's not even growing naturally because it's engineered and even patented, and they got a certain company that's on it saying they like corn. So the original corn is not the corn that we're eating. Because we're eating that corn and we're chewing that corn and we're chewing it. I don't care how well you're chewing it, it's still coming out old when you eliminate it, you see? Mm-hmm. And that corn is owned by a company by the name of Monsanto. You can Google that and you can see that also.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to plant that. Also on the chart is earth fruits and earth seeds. Now, earth fruits is, for example, if you get a watermelon that don't have those black seeds, that's what did I say? I said the black seeds. It's not real. So we eat watermelon, they got none of them white seeds in there. Again, as I said, if you got white stuff or white concept, leave white concepts alone. If you got, and I ain't speaking on white folks, I'm just speaking the truth. If it has white seeds, it's not real. That watermelon is engineered in the lab. 10 years ago, you ain't never seen a single seedless watermelon. So why are we eating it? Then it has earth seeds, for example. We're eating grapes that don't have seeds in it. Wait a minute, hold on. The earth produced grapes with seeds. So these others, where these other food come from? They don't have no seeds. And the seeds from the earth are very good for you. Watermelon seeds are excellent for you. Grape seeds are excellent for you. You should eat these things. You should not be spitting them out. Do not spit out the sunflower seeds. Do not spit out the watermelon seeds. Do not spit out the grape seeds. Eat them seeds. The next thing I have on the chart is grains. And we're talking about natural grains, grains like amaranth, spelt. We ain't talking about no grains that they don't came up with that we got to be eating like white rice. See, because white rice comes from black rice. And all they did was boost the black rice. You see, but when you mention black rice, people look at you like, you're crazy. Like, what black rice? What is wrong with black rice? I've never heard of black rice. that's strange to me because we would accept the white rice and question the black rice. You see?
Right.
And the white rice is you might as well go ahead and eat you some white paper and eat that because that has no nutrition in it at all because it's bleached. So real rice is black rice. You see? So then you have herbs. Now, I'm not talking about no hybrid herbs. We're talking, again, natural herbs. So you want natural herbs, natural grains, and then natural nuts. Be careful with nuts because all nuts are not good for you. They're not for you at all. Like, for example, cashews have a fungus in them. Peanuts have 25 different strands of fungus in it. So a good nut to eat, you say, well, what kind of nuts to eat? Well, almonds are good. Excellent for you. Plenty of so-called protein, because everything has a protein. Plenty of vitamin E for you, which is excellent for you, you see. And also on my chart is fats. Well, I don't never talk against fats because fats are good for you. We ain't talking about no animal fat. We ain't talking about that lard that some people have in their homes. We ain't talking about that kind of fat. We talking about fats like an avocado fruit. You take that avocado fruit, the avocado fruit has more fat contact in there enough for the human being body, enough for that black body that will sustain you. In fact, that avocado is a perfect food. It has more protein and more fat in there. It's all you need for your body. So, like, I love to make an avocado sandwich and put me some red onions on there. You see, I ain't talking about the onions, no white onions, red onions, some onions with some color to it, okay? And again, I'm not being prejudiced. I'm just speaking facts, okay? It's a mathematical fact, okay? You take that red onions and you put the avocado together, you got a great sandwich. And the very top of the pyramid of this food pyramid is the sun. Because you need that sun. Without that sun, if you take a regular natural plant, needs the sun and need water. And like us, we have the same. If you want to study the earth, we study ourselves. Because what the earth has, we have. What the universe has, we have. Because we are the universe and we are the earth. You see? And this is why I created this food pyramid, because we really have been choked up and caught up from the neck up and need checkup, because we've been broke down from the neck down for so long. Wonder why we all messed up and we sick and we dying and we got diabetes and we got this and we got that. And I will stop eating that old crazy food. You won't have none of that stuff. You see? Stop being afraid of the sun, because we are afraid of that sun. But we love that fake son that they give us, that one they call Jesus. We love that one.
Oh, my goodness. Well, see, we're going to have to definitely come back and talk more about that. We only have a few minutes left, so what we want to do is just touch briefly on that last chapter. And remember, family, we're just kind of giving you an overview tonight. We're going to let you know where you can get the book from, and we're going to have more conversation about the book at an upcoming show very, very soon. But Chief Burrell, just briefly give us a little bit from that last chapter because we only have a few minutes left.
Well, I'm going to give it to you real briefly. As soon as the last chapter, I have to say the title. And every time I say the title, sometimes I giggle. And the last chapter is The White Boy Nigger from Birth to the Goddamn Grave. And the guy is G-O-T, not G-O-D.
How did you come up with that?
Well, again, I told you to talk about that chapter, I'm going to laugh myself. Because, you know, I had to say something. And you may mention about the Bible, right? And I remember a scripture in the Bible, okay, that talked about, it said, if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he says, surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he should not be punished, for he is his money. Meaning that the slave is his money. And that's deep. You see, that is deep. Meaning the slave is his money. And that's, to me, is right there. I said, wow, I have to put this chapter together here to prove that, because now, and I'm going to say this, and I hope everybody can picture this as I'm saying it. We so caught up that we don't even realize that the dollar sign, the original dollar sign was an S with two lines, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Which was the U.S., which symbolized the U and the S in the United States. If you take the U, take the bottom part of the U, you erase that out and drop the two lines down, you got the U.S. Now, if you look at anywhere today, you see the dollar sign is an S with a line drawing down the middle of it.
Right.
Now, when you put a line down the middle of something, that means not in void. Or you wore out something. If I drew a circle, just imagine what I'm saying while I'm talking. If I drew a circle and put a line through it, that's voided out. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, what I did research, what I found is that that S with the line for it is not the dollar sign. The S with the line is the same symbol that the so-called, I already call them slave master, because it's the so-called those who had slaves, you know, when they did their books, they put the symbol of the S with a line through it, meaning the value of their slaves. So, and when I did further research, I found out that the S with the line for was actually two shackles, a shackle with a nail driven through it.
Mm.
Okay? So,
wow.
Oh, yes. But see, they got smart because the word setter, S-E-T-T-E-R, means anything that restrains you. So they know we will rebel and we realize we got shackles on our feet. So the biggest trick is, how do you restrain us without us realizing that we're still slaves? So by corporations. And by the United States of America being a corporation, and by other corporations, the biggest trick is enslaving the people. Which, who are the money? Because you are the value. Everybody knows that the dollar bill and the dollars that we have in our pocket, the lint that we got on our clothes was more than the money that we have in our pocket, because that money you got in your pocket is not backed by no silver or no gold. So the silver and the gold is the people. You see? It is the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I show it and I prove it throughout the book. When you get the book, you can read so much that I will break it down so plain that we are still the human resource. You are the human resource. You are the goods, the chattel property, the movable goods. And through the birth certificate, it is through that instrument that we give the birthright of our children away to these corporations. That's why we don't own anything. We only own the children, because even we have it don't, even custody doesn't mean ownership, because they become the value. This is why, again, like I say, we go to these human resources department, because that's what they are. So in this chapter, we will find that the wealth is generally the people. So, and I have from birth to the grave, because even your death certificate is an actual bond that we don't know is a bond, and they take that bond and they generate money off of that also. Because everything has a bond. Everything's about a bond being on you. This is why when you go to jail, you got to go to a bail bondsman, because it's all about money again. Because when you go to their courts, the judge sits on the bench, and the bench means bank in Latin, and he always says, how many accounts do we have? In other words, how much money we going to generate off this dude? And then and because we're the energy so much, so like when they created the movie The Matrix, they showed that the copper top battery is true to you. That's why they put you in a cell, because it's about generating energy, because you are that truly that black door cell, copper top cell. That copper top is your 14th, is your carbon 14. That carbon 14 is in you, it generates more energy in a little bit. We tell out, we are truly electric, and everything goes back to health. That's why, like I say, we say you are electric. We need to eat food that's all alive. So stop eating them dead foods, you see? Because we are truly the energy. And we need to stop being the energy for others and be the energy for ourselves. And this is why the husbandry chapter is important. See, because every chapter is going to tie in to help you out. See, so what we don't realize, what we don't know, is that that negotiable instrument, which is that birth certificate, is being traded on the stock markets. You see? And the goods is simply being passed around, and the holder of due course, we're not the holder of nothing, it's someone else. So in that chapter, you will find that out, that they still and have a way of a fetter, of a hold on us, and we willingly sign our lives away, because the word signature, sig means no, and you got no nature, because we have lost our nature of who we are, and we really like, I'm going to say this one thing and I'm going to stop. We really like the Wizard of Oz for real. Because in the movie The Wizard of Oz, you had a straw man, which means a dummy corporation. This is why our names and our birth certificate is in all caps, because that's a dummy corporation now. Because they took their original name and took your name. A real name is a capital letter, then it's lowercase. They took the name, made it all caps, which is a corporation. So the straw man was running around trying to find a brain. Now, real now that you had a brain, because if you knew you had a brain, you knew you had a brain. You know it. How do you know you had a brain? You got a brain. And that's how we acting. We got a brain, but we don't want to think, because we still want to be straw man. And then the 10 man represented the tax identification number, okay? That's what the 10 man represented. And then the lion is the tribe of Judah. And the lion didn't add no more courage, and we have just that, no more courage. We have no more courage to stand up as a people. And this is why we need, why Sister Soleil has this thing coming up for the black man to stand up. It is time for the black man to regain his place, take back his place. I ain't talking about ask permission. I ain't asking permission for nothing. See, that's why in that chapter you find out when you ask for privileges, you have privileges. You ask for permission to drive. They give you that privilege to drive. They can take that privilege away from you. You see? See, that don't mean you, how can you be free? How can you be your own man? You gotta ask permission to drive. There's, I have a neighbor that lives next to me. He's 90-something years old. And I said, sir, he said, I got a brand new car in my car. He said, but my license is suspended. I said, God, can I say, get in that car and drive. He said, no. I said, I'm really scared. I said, scared? I said, what can they do to you? But write you out a ticket. That's deep, isn't it? See how programmed we are?
Absolutely.
The white boy's nigga from birth to the goddamn grave, because he's going to go to his grave being scared to drive when he should be getting in that car and driving, because he's going about a privilege that he had to ask somebody permission for to drive. Like you had to ask somebody permission to marry and ask somebody permission for to divorce. know, people. So read that chapter. In fact, get this whole book. Keep listening to this radio broadcast, because his sister does a great job and a great work in helping our people out and bringing out this kind of information, because you're going to make it this kind of talk like this that we're talking right now about this book. Nowhere else, okay? And I want to thank you, sister.
Well, my brother, before I let you go, because we're still waiting for our next guest to call in, I do have someone, I believe, that has a question for you. So I'm going to go to the line briefly and see if our caller at, the last digits of your number is 7347. Let's see if you have a question or a comment for our brother tonight, the brother Bilal Jafari Ill, and of course we're talking about the book, Black Man's Consciousness of Philosophy.
All right, greetings. Am I in?
Oh, hey, brother, yes, you're in.
All right, well, thank you very much for opening the lines. It is fortunate that the thought pattern of the brother who wrote the book, to me, that's like universal knowledge, because I've been there the whole time. I'm glad to see somebody has put it down on pen to paper, okay? And now perhaps others can begin to read and research and get it. There's too many of us who, I guess, deal like the ostrich, the head in the sand. They see the information, but they want to hide from it. So, brother, thank you for putting the information out there where people have to see it, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I can greatly appreciate the consensus of where you are with the sun. I thoroughly enjoyed the piece where you gave on the breast milk. Did you put in anywhere in the chapters how in the Hades did they talk an entire group of people out of breastfeeding? How did they talk them into feeding as the animal? Brother, if that's in the book, you know, I need to know.
Oh, yeah.
I need to know.
Yes, sir. It's in the health chapter, brother. Yes, sir. Page 170. Yes, sir.
I love the way that you spoke on the people being the energy, because that is a piece that I talk about. Okay, I talk about the trickery of the dollar bill, and you broke that down, okay? When, you know, people need to hear from a source to where they can put their hand to the word. It's so much that you have brought to the table, the power that we are as a people, the power in the word that we speak. But, man, one of the most tremendous things you brought, when I first started listening, I went like, okay, we're getting ready to walk to the river, but we're not going to get in. Okay? And that's when you said the portion about recognizing who we really are, God and Goddess. Okay? Coming together, being the creator. When we create life, that is the paramount of what we need to do to walk on the road that we build back to or into the way of life. We've been moved so far from that by all the trickery and everything that you have named this day. So I commend you for the book that you have written. I probably have thought about it many times, but the thought and the prayer has been manifested through your work. So my great appreciations go out to you. You know, understand?
Thank you, sir.
I can really say no more other than to do some other things that I hope Empress will introduce to you, so that, you know, the proper channels, proper ties are done and for the connection therein. I greatly appreciate your work. Thank you.
And again, Brother's going to be joining us October 14th at our For Brothers Only conference. And, of course, that's just the beginning. I mean, we're going to be doing a lot more. That's just like a kickoff session to get people, you know, understanding that we're serious, committed, and we're not going to stop. And for that particular first session, we're going to put a call out to brothers all over the country, but particularly to the 10,000 brothers that came together here in Philadelphia in 2007 that talked about they were against violence. Well, we now need to know, how does that apply to our women and girls? What plan do they have? Or what plan are they willing to participate in? Because we got a plan. So we're going to let them see that there are brothers who already are standing up, and we certainly invite them to do so as well. So, well, my brothers, I'm going to make sure the two of you do connect. And, of course, you'll see one another at our For Brothers Only conference. And Chief Bilal, I thank you, of course, for making this call in. I know you were resting, so I certainly appreciate you, taking some extra time to share with us. As you could tell, it is certainly appreciated.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And again, like I always say, and I'm going to say it again, and I want everybody to know this, when I was on that hospital bed, my Maya, and they said I was calling my sister Maya, and she truly is Maya. So thank you again, Maya.
Oh, you are so welcome, my brother. I will talk with you soon.
Yes,
please. All right, family. Again, we were just talking with Chief Bilal Jafari Eel, and we've been talking about the book known as Black Man's Consciousness of Philosophy. Bilal, are you there? Okay, I think we lost him. I wanted to get that address again, or the information of where you could purchase it. However, what you can do is you can send us an email at nationalmwm@aol.com, and we will send you that information. But we're going to be talking more about this book very soon. Now, before we close out, I think Brother Ramasuse has a couple of announcements for us. There's some recent developments that just came up with his radio program that is heard every week on WRD, the radio station based here in Philadelphia, known as Word. As it turns out, some things have recently developed, and I think it's very important that you, as well as any of our brothers and sisters on the national level, you need to know, because there's a lot of stuff going on in our community that we're not talking about. And I'm talking about things that black folks do to us, to one another, but especially to the folk that speak out, especially to the folk that have really potent information. We tend to be under the gun all the time. And so just as with Alton Maddox, who, if any of you have ever written or rather read any of Brother Alton's articles, you know that man can write up a storm. Well, all those years having his commentaries put into the Amsterdam News, and then all of a sudden it's gone. You know, so we are seeing a similar thing happening here in Philadelphia. It already happened with the newspapers, previously. But now, unfortunately, we're seeing it happen to a greater extent with the radio station. I knew that some time ago, which is why, you know, I really kind of didn't listen to it much anymore anyway. But, you know, you had a few things here and there that was worth listening to. And, of course, Legacy of the Nation was, in fact, one of those shows. But, unfortunately, as I said, something has happened. So what I'm going to do is patch Brother Ramasuse back in and let him tell you about what has happened. I don't see our guest that was supposed to be on for tonight, Master Rogers, but Hopefully we'll get them in before we close out. We're still waiting for them to call in. So what we're going to do is go back to our live line, and we're going to have Brother Ramasus talk with us a little about what has happened with Legacy of a Nation. Brother Ramasus, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I greatly appreciate the opportunity to talk about Legacy of a Nation and what's going on. Legacy of a Nation is a program based on the information we need as a people. So just like the guest that you just had on are the people that we feature, okay? We featured people like Dr. Kambon. We featured Molly Rue Baruchi, okay? Mm-hmm. We have people on like Ancestor Ghost Guy. We've had you on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we know the type of information that Legacy of a Nation puts out, okay? And we have received the news that we no longer fit the lineup. Well, let me tell you, I saw the handwriting on the wall when they brought their new administration in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They brought a guy in by the name of... Now, I don't know if it's fair to call their names since they're not online to defend themselves. So I won't call their names.
Well, I mean, look, see, that's not how we operate. We don't get into the politics of what people think is right and wrong. I mean, if you got a name and you want to tell it, say it, then say it. That's all.
Well, then, hey, look, this is your piece. I'll put it out there because there it is. Anyway, when they brought David Brown on, okay, when he came on board as a station manager, I knew that it was going to be the systematic shutdown of things to come forward. Then you have the woman, Barbara Grant, okay? Then
who used to be the mayor's, press secretary.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so when they had all these people lined up, okay, I saw the changes coming. Then they started, which I say is the death nail, this 990 club, where they had people making donations directly to the station. Okay? This began to eliminate the necessity of the brokered programs. Okay? The brokered programs were under contract.
Right.
And they made payment to the station for the airtime. Okay?
Right.
And you hear the advertisement that they have that the opinions that you are about to listen to are not necessarily that of the station so that they can keep their white sponsors, period. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, it's important to have a black-owned station supported by the black people. Okay, but when the black people are being manipulated into support while using corporate white sponsors who dictate what will go across the air, we're falling right back into that oh so deep servitude to, and I'm not going to use the word, but you know the M word I'm talking about. All right. M and S, okay? You know, it's that syndrome that gets us. We have a fright. It's just like when the brother was talking about the man owns a car and scared to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have the power of information. We need the power of the news, okay? The ones that we create, and that's where North, East, South, and West come from, because we traveled the world and brought the news back to one another, the original source. But since we have been severed from who we are, we have been frightened into this, dormant state. And anything and everything becomes acceptable, you know? I know you heard the statement, oh, you better stop that before you get into trouble. Oh, look at that. He always causing trouble. Why he kind of always be messing with them white folks?
Sound like the story of my life.
I'm trying to tell you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I look at trouble as a friend. You know, if you ain't causing no trouble, you ain't doing nothing. You ain't doing nothing. But,
that's right.
You know, I sure enjoyed your guest and the book that you wrote. I really want to look into it because there are a number of things that he's talking about, and maybe one thing that he didn't mention tonight, but with the way that he was talking, I'm almost sure it's there. And that is the fact that we've been scared to life. Okay? We keep clinging stuff that makes no sense. Okay? We are clinging to stuff that makes no sense. So my whole key to all of this is those who enjoy getting information that is news to us to call in to WURD, and the number to call is 215-425-7875. And ask the person, Robert Grant, who is the program director. Okay. Ask her why is Legacy of a Nation being etched out. Ask her why it no longer fits the lineup. You know? That, I mean, so we need 200,000 people to do that. Or more, you know, call a billion dollars. We need to do so.
You're breaking up just a little bit.
So if we don't see the help, the last show is September 12th. So listen out for us tomorrow. Yeah, listen to the
You're breaking up a little bit, my brother.
Okay, well, you know, they're going to do that to us. Can you hear me now? They're going to do that.
All right, the two right about now. But it's all good because we just have a few minutes anyway. So we got most of it, if not all of it, in that we really need to get in. So it's all good. Well, at any rate, family, we have come down to our last few minutes, as I just indicated. Not sure what happened with Grandmaster Rogers this evening, but surely we'll try to reschedule him for another time. We're going to continue to have our dialogue about becoming a better African warrior in the 21st century. And note, this is for men and women, too. This is for sisters also. We're going to be talking about becoming better warriors in a holistic kind of way. So it's not just the physical. It's about also the mental and the spiritual, too. So we have to fight wars on all of these levels, and we most certainly plan to do so. Now, the next show, we're going to give you an update on Brother Austin Maddox. We are going to talk with him hopefully later on this week and try to get some insight into some information that we received today. But nevertheless, we want to remind you again that you will be able to go online starting on Tuesday, I believe. It might be Monday, but definitely for Tuesday, you'll be able to go online to register for Brothers Only. Well, we just got the cue. We're down to our last minute. Brother Robinson, thank you so much, and I'm going to talk to you a little later on so that we can kind of review the situation with Brother Alton. And in the meantime, I want to remind everyone that we will be back next week, same time, same place, but definitely on another level of dimension. Until next week, I'm going to leave you with the concept of heart, power, prosperity, and peace. And I want to remind you that we strive always for the attainment of true justice and true liberation. And with that, at some point, we will indeed obtain peace. But remember, we can never expect to have any real peace, any real hope, without my eyes, without justice. So until next week, family, please continue to tune in. Remember the Million Woman Movement, the Million Woman March's 14-year anniversary is coming up. We invite all of you to join us for the African Women's Literary Showcase. We got some new folks that have endorsed us, including Black and Noble. We're going to tell you more about that next week. Until next week, goodbye, Nana.